Let's pray and we'll start the Bible study. Father, give us your attention tonight. May we hold our attention on the Word of God as you speak to us. And Lord, help me as I teach, help me rightly divide it so that our people could understand your Word a little easier. Help us not just to hear it, to understand for our understanding's sake. Help us to understand it so for our living sake, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, and I need you to keep your Bibles open. I really do want to teach you something tonight. It's a little bit of a continuation of last week. It'll take me about 2 minutes to tell you from last week what you need to know, and we'll jump right into it tonight. But Acts chapter 4, verse number 1. Acts chapter 4, verse number 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. Important verse. Notice who this is. This is the religious crowd. Okay? This isn't the government. This is the religious crowd. Verse 2. Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Imagine religious people upset about preaching about Jesus. And they laid hands on them and put them in the hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed. And the number of men was about 5,000. Now, if you'll listen to me, let me catch you up. In chapter 3, if you remember, Peter and John are going into the temple. There's a lame man who is at over 40 years old. He lays outside the gate beautiful of the temple, begging for alms every day. And Peter and John come into the temple to preach the gospel. And they see this man, and he asked for an alm. And Peter said, hey, look on me. Silver and gold have I none. But let me show you what God can do. And he reached out and he said, in the name of Jesus, arise and walk. Took him by the hand, lifted him up, and God healed that lame man who had been lame from the womb. Boy, he went into the temple. He was jumping up and down. He was praising God. Everybody knew him. And people started gathering around to find out what happened. And Peter got in the back of his F-150 and started preaching Jesus. Amen. He got in the back of that old black Ford pickup truck and just let her fly. And the Bible says, as we read in verse number 4, that about 5,000 men were saved because of that. Now, that's all you need to know from that part of it from last week. Now, here's the part that we're going to talk about tonight. I want you to notice something that caused a little trouble in the temple. Now, if you'll listen to me, I think I could help you tonight. Peter and John preaching the gospel in the temple caused quite a stir. May I liken it unto today? That'd be like me going to the local Catholic church and preaching the gospel there someday. That wouldn't go over real well. Now, I'd have fun with it, but they wouldn't have as much fun with it. And you have to understand, there were 5,000 people that got saved that day. And as you can imagine, this isn't going to sit well with the religious intelligentsia of the day. Well, Dr. Fatbottom and Pope Pius the Weirdo and everybody else is going to have some problems here. The religious leaders throw Peter and John in the temple jail for a night. These religious leaders are furious that they preached the resurrected Jesus. Now, you remember last week, I read part of the sermon to you, how that Peter got up and said, look, that what authority do I have? The authority of Jesus, the very one you crucified, the one Pilate was willing to let go. But in this very building where I stand right now, you said, give us a murderer and crucify Jesus. You think I'm rough. Peter was really rough. Man, he cut loose. He was ripping their lips off. Amen. He was just letting it fly. And they're upset that Peter and John are preaching this resurrected Jesus. By the way, They can get upset all they want, but 5,000 got saved that day. Amen. This is going to hurt the temple influence. This is going to put a hurting on them because a lot of these people are going to go to the church and not the temple. Let me remind you, Jesus started the church, not the temple. The temple was the Old Testament pointing to Jesus. The reason the religious people got upset with Jesus and they said he committed blasphemy was, he said this, I'll destroy the temple and raise it up the third day. Amen. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You see, these are the people who crucified Jesus. He came to fulfill the law, not do away with the law. And that's why in Matthew 16, Jesus founded the church. The temple and the church are two totally different things. The temple and the church are not the same. And that's important to understand. Now, these temple leaders, by the way, Jesus was enemy number one of the temple leaders. That would be like me being enemy number one of the Catholics. Or people that don't preach salvation right. They don't like me a whole lot. By the way, I haven't got a whole lot of love lost for them either. But the temple leaders are the ones who crucified Christ. Listen to the statement. These priests and leaders of the temple are the very ones that had Jesus crucified. They're not just associated with them. They are the ones that led their charge against Jesus. Now watch this. And they are trying to take on authority that's not theirs to take on. They're taking on God's authority, and that's a big no-no. They wanted to have power over the people. Now, listen to me carefully here. Don't forget that these disciples are real people like you and me. May I digress for just a second here? Too many times we read the Bible and we think that people in the Bible were superhuman. They weren't. Peter and John were like Brother Ron and me, just common people. They did supernatural things in the power of God, but I believe Peter and John were a little bit afraid. They had watched Jesus killed for what they're doing right now. Now think about that for a second. I imagine that they carried the same fears. They had the same heartaches. They had the same burdens. They had mother-in-laws too. They had the same problems that everybody else has, and they really didn't want to face public humiliation. Kind of like during COVID when we stayed open. I wasn't afraid of it, but every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, I stood at the door hoping that the government workers didn't show up trying to shut us down so I didn't have to go to jail. Now, you all may not have thought of that, but my wife and I did, and she said, honey, what are you going to do if they take you to jail? I said, just call Brother Juan, I'll be all right. She said, no, I'm serious. I said, oh my, don't worry. I said, God's going to take care of it, don't you worry. Now, we never had a problem. You say, why? Because it was within our legal parameters, stay open. Amen. Now, you have to understand, they probably had it a whole lot harder than we have it. They were at the inception of the church and this mega growth of the church. And you build a church like ours, it goes throughout the community. There are some, I'll use the term religious people in the area that aren't real happy that we're here. You say, why? Because some of you came from their churches. I don't know how else to say that. I didn't necessarily go after you, but you're here, and they're not real happy. You're here. Everybody doing all right? So they faced some of the same fears you and I do. Now, I want us to look at this tonight and just take the magnifying glass and look at it just a little bit from a different angle. Maybe you can see some things. Number one, religion tries to take God's authority. Religion tries to take God's authority. Look at verse number 5. Acts chapter 4, verse number 5. Watch how they question Peter and John. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" What are they talking about? By what name or by what authority or by what power did you heal that guy that was out front? Do you remember what Peter's answer to that was in Acts chapter 3? Look at verse number 12. Acts chapter 3, verse number 12. "And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, 'Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and just, and desired a murder be granted unto you." They said, they looked at Peter and John and said, "By what authority, who gave you the right to heal anybody here?" In the words of my dear friend, Brother Hiles, oh, 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 he came unscrewed. I love Peter's answer, but we'll get to that in a second. Religion has learned how to take people's sincerity for God and abuse it and tell people that they are the authority and God is not. Please listen to this very carefully here. I am not trying to hurt anybody. I'm not trying to berate any religion, though my definition of religion is much different. Religion is man telling God how God has to accept man. Christianity is God told us and we have to accept it by grace through faith. Just because the name church is on the building doesn't mean God's with it. Plain and simple. So religion doesn't bother me as far as they don't scare me. Now, listen to this very carefully here. Anybody who stands and says, "Well, I can speak for God to you. Treat me as though you would God." By the way, the Pope will do that. It's called speaking ex cathedra. Wasn't it so nice of him back during COVID that he said that you could confess your own sins to God during COVID because you couldn't go to the churches to talk to the priest? Wasn't that nice of him? Isn't it amazing that how in some religions that you've got to pay someone and sit behind in a telephone booth, tell them all the bad things you've done, and they technically, in their own religion, say, "Well, that priest will take your sins and put it on their account, and you can be forgiven." Well, I hate to tell you something, folks. I ain't paying for your sin. Because I'm just as much a sinner as you are. I couldn't pay for your sin, neither can any other man. There is no other name given among heaven whereby man must be saved, but the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You don't need to confess your sins to a priest or a pope or some dress-wearing weirdo, that a man that they call father that dresses like mama. All right? You don't need to do that. You don't need to lay on the floor and flip around and flop around saying, "I got it, I got it, I got it," and start saying all the motorcycle names backwards and think you're filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'm just going to go ahead and say it. It doesn't bother me. preachers like Joel Osteen trying to soak everybody for money isn't doing it either. I'm not against wealth. I'm against preaching to get wealth. I'm against this, what they call prosperity gospel. Where, oh, if you truly get saved, you'll have more money and you'll give more money. And the more money you give, the more money you get. I just believe, obey God and watch what God can do with your finances. If we would just learn to do what the scripture says, why is it then in Olstein's church that the more money you give, the closer to the pastor you get? Why is it there are churches in this area, in Jefferson and Berkeley County, that if you join their church, they want your banking routing numbers and stuff, and they'll take your tithe directly out of your check account? Well, folks, that's wicked as hell. I'm not afraid to say that. God says, bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, not have it directly withdrawn from your account. Don't give me your banking information, just bring it with you. I have no problem with that. You say, well, you might get more money, preacher. I might get more money if I looked at it from man's point of view, but not God's. We're not putting an ATM up at church. I'm not saying it's sinful, but God says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. I happen to see God bless our church in a very unusual way. Why would I want to change it? So religion wants to be God in your life. The old godly preacher, he had gotten saved out of the Catholic religion. He was in church or in the hospital dying. He had been preaching for years and he was at the hospital and the nurse said, Father so-and-so is coming. He said, I don't need him, but if he's coming, let him come. And he came to his side and he said, do you need some sins to confess? He said, no, sir, I don't need any sins to confess. He said, why not? He said, you can just say them to me and you've been forgiven. He said, come down here. He said, you need a priest to be able to forgive your sins. He said, come in a little closer. He got right down in his ear and that man, that old preacher hollered as loud as he could. I confessed him to Jesus and he is the high priest. He said, I don't need you. He said, last time I saw the Holy Father running down the hallway. Now, wait a minute. That's kind of the truth. We don't need a high priest. Jesus came and he was the high priest. Right. Go to the book of Hebrews. That's why Jesus came from the tribe of Judah and not Levi. That's why the priesthood was done away with and we don't have the priesthood. That's why we don't do temple worship. Amen. Now, Peter's response to this religious leaders, I want you to see this. Look at verse number 8. Now, I'm going to read it word for word what Peter said with some emphasis. You ready? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all that to all people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of your builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. He was talking to the scribes, the Pharisees, and the priests. That'd be like me going to the local ecumenical movement or what do you call that thing? Ministerial Association. And getting up and preaching Jesus unto them. By the way, I don't get invited and I'm glad. You say, why? They called one time and Mrs. Barnes heard my response to him and she said, who was that? I said, the leader of the local ministerial association. She sat down in our chair and started crying. She was laughing so hard. No problem. Say why? I'm not rubbing elbows with people who deny that Jesus Christ was virgin born and is the Son of God. I'm not bumping elbows with people that don't believe in salvation by grace. I'm not going to eat a meal with them. I'm not going to sit down and fellowship with them. You say why? Because I'll get angry and throw food everywhere. It'll make me mad. You have to understand, Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost and he reacts to religious leaders this way. Hey, don't get mad at me when I start calling these folks out. That's what they did in the scriptures. When people aren't using right doctrine, it's my job to protect you as a shepherd from wrong doctrine. And I'm not afraid of it. I don't care if it's Baptist, Catholic. Brother Harry and I were talking just today, and he asked me about a certain group of quote-unquote Baptists. I said, Brother Harry, don't do that. He said, why? I said, those people handle snakes. He said, I ain't going there. He said, you sure? I said, I'm positive. Didn't even slow down. I knew exactly what they were. Just because it says Baptist doesn't mean it's right. Now, it's got a better chance of being right, but it's not necessarily right. Now, so you have to understand, the religious world is trying to take the authority of God. Listen to what I mean by this. They have taken advantage of people saying, if you do this our way, God will accept you. And I wonder how many people are going to die and go to hell because they've listened to a religious leader and not the Bible. Hitler's hell may be hot, but a priest or a preacher who preaches wrong doctrines, hell is going to be worse. Because they're taking authority upon them that is not theirs. Anybody that says something contrary to scripture doctrinally about salvation, they're in danger of hellfire damnation. And they're sending people to hell. And I have no problem saying they're wrong. Number two, I better hurry up. I'll get a bad attitude if I don't. Number two, the lost and religious world tries to pass obedience to truth as shallow and unintelligent. May I help you with something? How many, and you don't have to raise your hand, but I wonder how many in here have heard this statement before. Oh, you Christians, you just use church as a crutch. You're too weak. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Oh, you're so weak, you got to go to church. Can I show you where that came from? The devil's not real smart. He just uses the same things over and over. Look at verse number 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Isn't it amazing how the religious world and the lost world says that somebody that preaches like I do, I'm ignorant. I'm unlearned. Please don't take this the wrong way. I got more sense in that little finger than any priest has in his whole body. I know that book far better than any monkey or monk that sat in a seminary somewhere for decades. I have more understanding of scripture than the average 10 preachers in the religious world. Can I tell you why? Because it's not about a church. It's about the word of God and letting God have the authority and not man. I'm not trying to build a church. I'm not trying to build my authority. We're trying to obey God. And if obedience makes me weak, sign me up. But I'll tell you this. They have turned to traditions instead of truth. Religion is based on tradition, not truth. Let me say that again. Religion is based on tradition and not truth. Say, how do you know that, preacher? Turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I'll let God show you what he says. Doesn't matter what I say, what does God say? Romans chapter 1, look at verse number 25. Now, everybody look at me for just a second once you get there. That way I know you got there. These aren't my words. These are God's words. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Isn't it amazing how that people want to pray through saints? Pray to Mary. Oh, you got to be good to puppy dogs and kitty cats and all these other things, or God will send you to hell. Now, I'm not for abusing an animal, but bless the Lord, I'm not going to serve the creature more than the creator. Turn to Colossians, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, look at verse number 8. And I'm going to show you something here. Watch the wording with this and keep your finger there in Romans or Acts chapter 4. We'll come back to it. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse number 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through, what's the next word? Philosophy. Can I tell you what that word means? Education. And vain deceit. After the what? Tradition of men. After the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Isn't it amazing that they said of Peter and John that now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant. God says, beware lest they spoil you through philosophy and traditions of men. Now, I'm going to get in trouble here if I say things right. I get a little sick and tired of preachers who want to sound intelligent, and they'll change doctrine to sound intelligent. I get a little tired of churches that want to fill a notebook and fill somebody's head with knowledge, but they're too weak to go out and knock on doors and tell a law center how to go to heaven. If your intelligence is so great that you don't have time to obey the word of God and go tell somebody about Jesus, forget your intelligence and obey Jesus. It amazes me how lost man thinks that obeying God is less intelligent. I've used this illustration before. These are the people that believe there was a giant cataclysmic boom in eternity past. They don't know where the original mass came from, but it was there. And only one little rock that came from this original boom had water on it. And it spun for billions of years. And after billions of years, a single cell amoeba formed. That single cell amoeba, after billions of years, got tired of being alone, so it divided into two. Those two were happy for quite a while, then had babies, and they had four, then six, then eight. Then that thing began to swim together as a unit, and they had more babies. Then after a while, it swam to the top and realized there's a big bad world out there that they had never seen before, but they couldn't breathe the air, so they had to grow lungs. After millions of years, they grew lungs, came on the land, but their tail got in the way, and they had to grow feet. So after millions of years, they got rid of their tail, grew feet. Now they stand on their back feet and teach in the colleges. And they say, we're unintelligent? I have a sermon sitting in my file right now that I'm just about done with. I'm going to show you how science has to prove the Bible right, or it's not science. If you just went to the Grand Canyon, you could prove that the evolutionary theory is wrong, just looking at the layers of the Grand Canyon. Everybody doing all right? They say, we're unintelligent. They'll call you weak. Well, Pastor, what college did you go to? I did. Is it accredited? Yes. Oh, by what association? Due North. Is your Christian school going to be accredited by the state? Never. That would be like asking the Little League to accredit Mickey Mantle. Folks, I don't need people who can't tell the difference between a man and a woman and what a mother is. I don't need them to tell me whether I can have a school or not. I don't want them to tell me that they have the right to look through my curriculum and tell me what I can and can't teach. It'll be a cold day before where the booger man lives before that happens. Now, I will agree with you. I am not probably the most intelligent person you've ever met in your entire life. But I probably am a little above average. And when it comes to Scripture, I love running people around the circle that think they're religious and they don't know how to answer questions. Go to a Catholic hospital sometime and watch them run away from me. Isn't it amazing how they'll criticize the intelligence of a preacher like me? Oh, he's just one of those wildfire people. He's got a lot of enthusiasm, but not a whole lot of smarts. Well, I got more smarts in that hand because I got enough smarts to obey God. I got enough smarts to preach Jesus. Here's my question. They always have to come out with a new Bible. How come they're the ones that have to have a Bible that's easier to understand than I preach the old King James Bible? Amen. And they want to call me unintelligent? Well, it's got all those these and thous. Are you so stupid you can't figure out what that means? Everybody doing all right? Man, I have fun with these idiots. Don't worry what people call you or think of you. It's the same trick the devil's been using for thousands of years. For over 2,000 years, he's criticized people who preach Jesus the right way. Well, we have to understand people's motives and they have to really know for sure and they got to make sure they're doing this with the right attitude. Show me that in the Scripture. Do you think the guy that Peter and John said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk? Do you think he said, well, I have to check my attitude first. I got to make sure I'm sincere. I've got to make sure that I have the right spirit about it. No, he had the right spirit the moment he started to stand up and walk for the first time ever in his life. Say, what did he say? Well, glory. He had an old Baptistal fit, amen? Number three, I got to hurry. How the world and religion tries to stop truth. Look at verse 14. By the way, religion is more responsible for death than most government is. Look at verse 14. And beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Isn't it amazing? When you show a changed life, they don't know what to say. Verse 15. But when they commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred amongst themselves. They had a private conference, amen? Saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Jesus. Now, look at Peter's answer, verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. Now I want you to notice something. Twice they use the word here is threatened. Says in verse 16 that they would threaten them, and then it says they further threatened them. Now look at me. Governments are going to try to threaten people from preaching truth. That's what they did during COVID. Oh, you got to shut church down. By the way, the governor didn't say that. Even if he did, it had no rule of law because the state constitution and federal constitution superseded whatever he would say. I stayed open. We didn't check your temperature. I wasn't going to stick thermometers anywhere. Say why? If you're sick, stay out in the parking lot. We've got FM radio. If not, you want to come in? Come on in. Did you make people wear masks? Only if they wanted to. That mask didn't stop any disease. Did you hear Dr. Fauci this week? Even his vaccine, he says, hasn't stopped it. And it's not quite as effective as they thought it was going to be 2 years ago. Go figure. I love the little thing somebody sent me this week. If my dog had to get 3 rabies shots in a year, I'd start to wonder. They could not deny the truth of the miracle. So they met in secret. It always amazes me how people have to meet in secret to figure out how to get around something. Grace Baptist Church, listen to this statement. Beware of people in a church that say, oh, come over here, let's have a little meeting, because we don't agree with the preacher on this. Uh-oh. They don't have enough guts to stand up and tell me to my face. And we don't have that problem, just so you know. People like that don't hang around me very long. Not at all. I'm known for taking my stand, trust me. I counseled a pastor this week who's going through a little bit of a administrative reorganization. And I called him and I said, I'll stand shoulder to shoulder with you, Doc. I know some of the people involved. Hello. Now, wait a minute. They tried to stop the truth by from spreading. Can I tell you something? The religious world doesn't want you to go soul winning. The lost world doesn't want you to go soul winning. They think soul winning is soliciting. It's not. Let me show you what the lost world's trying to do. They tried to make preaching Jesus illegal. When I was in Bible college, of course, our church was fairly large. We'd run 20, 25,000. We had 2,400 in the college. There was a local city not far from us in Illinois. And the mayor of the town called Brother Heil's office and said, look, if your people go soul winning in my town, they're going to be arrested. Oh. My sophomore year of college, Brother Heil says, good. How big's your jail? He said, why? He said, because next Saturday I'm going to have 3,000 people on the streets of your town. Can your jail hold us all? By the way, the next Saturday, 3,000 of us went to that city and went soul winning. The mayor called him and heard we were coming and said, just be careful, Pastor. You can't make laws like that. Subdivisions that say no soliciting doesn't mean no soul winning. A door that says no soliciting doesn't mean no soul winning. Right. Hate to disappoint you. Just like liberals saying that any Supreme Court justice or politician that has an evangelical Christian pray with them is akin to the Taliban. Yes. That's what they're saying. Since when In our country, has it been that somebody can't be a Christian and be involved in the government? Now, it's getting harder and harder, let me tell you. But may I say something? We were founded on biblical principle, on godly issues. By the way, they want to take God and mix it with all religion. See how they're meshing that together? They're comparing Christianity to the Taliban. That's wicked as a stinking devil or worse. Look at verse 21. So when they had further threatened them. Can I tell you something? A threat doesn't mean much. Do you know what a threat is? It's just somebody blowing off steam. There's no action taken. A threat is not legally binding. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but you're not going to worry me. I have people, I'll call the police. I'll reach out and say, okay, you want the phone number? 911, call them. I'll wait here with you. My dad was out soul winning not far from here several years ago. Somebody got a little ticked off and said, we're going to call the police. He said, you want to borrow my phone? He said, call them. Bring them out here. So they went to the next several doors, and before too long, the police came. They said, what you doing? He said, we're going door to door telling folks about church. He said, okay, have a good night. They weren't real happy, the people that called the police. But guess what? Police had no jurisdiction to stop anybody. Amen. We're not taking money for it. Everybody doing okay? As I said Sunday, the little kids selling candy bars from school in your neighborhood are soliciting. Taking the gospel door to door is not soliciting. Did you know you can witness in a public school? You can witness at work and it's not illegal? Don't be afraid of religious people. You'd be surprised how many religious people get saved. Because they just don't know the truth. I got 4 minutes and I got to hurry. Lastly, Peter and John's response to these threats. This is my favorite part. Are you ready? Look at verse number 19. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. May I tell you what that means? You decide whether it's more right for me to obey you than God, but I'm going to obey God. You can judge me all you want, but look at verse number 20. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Wow. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them. Now watch this. They said they were going to obey God no matter whether they found them at fault or not. Someone once proposed a question to me in a sermon that they were preaching. And they said, if you were put on trial for being a Christian, would they have enough evidence to convict you? Would you be found guilty? Sign me up. Look at Acts chapter 5. Now you realize this is a little bit later. This is a whole chapter later, and it's several days, maybe weeks or months later. Look at Acts chapter 5, verse number 27. Skip up to verse 26. Then when the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. And when they brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? Behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Guess what? Their threat didn't take. I've been in neighborhoods where somebody got upset with somebody. Oh, during COVID, we were out passing out tracts and knocking on doors. Some lady in Shepherdstown called here. She was madder than a wet hen. She didn't smell any better than one either. But she was, I'm killed. You're supposed to be a man of God, and you don't care about people. You're killing people by putting pieces of paper in their door, and they're going to get infected with COVID and die. You don't care about anybody, and you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You're murdering people. I mean, she went on. Well, I found out who went soul winning in Shepherdstown, where they went. Guess whose door I knocked on? I parked out in front of the house, walked up, knocked on the door. I knew they weren't going to answer. But I put another piece of paper in their door with a gospel tract, and I took a 3x5 card and said, by the way, you're only worried about their life here on earth. I care about them for eternity. Don't want people to die and go to hell. Amen. And I left it with the gospel tract signed, Pastor Bush. They already had my phone number. It's on the track. Preacher, I don't think you ought to do it. Why is it that we're more concerned about people's life here than we are their eternity? Did you know this wasn't Peter and John's last time to face these religious idiots? We just read in chapter 5 they got called back to the principal's office. The religious and the lost world doesn't want us to preach Jesus. You know, you can talk about immorality and it's okay. You can talk Hollywood and it's okay. You can talk about getting drunk or getting high and it's okay. But you mention Jesus' name and watch people. Oh, you can't talk about that. Well, watch me. What you gonna do about it? Peter and John didn't have a bad attitude. They just kept standing for truth. Notice what they said. We can't speak but the things we have seen and heard. Well, if you have seen Jesus change your life by getting saved, we're talking about things we have seen. And when you come to church and hear the truth and you teach someone the truth, you're talking about what you have heard. We are to talk about the things we have seen and heard. The truth. Take courage. If the apostles could do this, in the weeks in months just following the crucifixion, and they stood in the very place where Jesus was when they said crucify him, preaching to the same people who said crucify him. If they got enough courage to do that, don't you think in 2022 we ought to have enough courage to tell somebody about Jesus? Maybe we shouldn't be so afraid. Maybe we ought to have a little bit of courage. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I got to shut this thing down. I wonder, are we willing to stand for Jesus? Are we willing to take those threats and just let them roll off? They're not going to bother you. Let's be willing. Let's not be annoying. Let's not be ridiculous. But let's be just willing to get the truth into people's hands.